Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Friday Feels Justine's version. I am your ever enthusiastic host, Justine, here to talk to you about feeling your feelings, practicing sustainable self-care, and setting healthy boundaries that actually stick. I am sitting down. It is a Tuesday afternoon, just shy of 1:30, and I have a petite window of time before I have to pick my kids up from school. This is my, I believe, fourth attempt at recording this episode today, with every other attempt ending in me going, "That doesn't make any sense," and deleting it. Then I remembered that the last time that I had a botched attempt at recording a podcast episode was actually on Friday when I wrote the Friday Feels, and I had my kids at home because I let them stay home because I'm a sucker. And they, believe it or not, interrupted me constantly. So I managed to get an email out, but I did not manage to record a podcast episode to go with it. And then I sat down today and on attempt number four, finally realized, oh yeah, I know exactly what I'm supposed to be doing today. I'm supposed to be recording an episode for the email I already wrote. So that's what we're going to do. So this email, I titled it, "Do you say process or process?" Because I've learned recently that I say process, and a lot of people say process. And I don't know if it's a Canadian thing, but it came up because I wanted to talk about processing feelings. I was listening to one of my coaching clients a while ago as she talked through her feelings about a particularly taxing pocket of time coming to an end. This was, I believe, post-pandemic when things were, well, quote unquote, post-pandemic, when things started to kind of go to quote unquote normal. She, my client, was incredibly burnt out, but knew that a change was on the horizon, which was great. I've talked about this before, that sometimes just different is better, especially when there had been so much happening. But in spite of the fact that things were going to, quote unquote, get better, it still felt like too much to her. So there was some relief that I heard in her voice, but mostly I heard apprehension and a little bit of something else. When she had finished sharing the struggle, she said, "It all just feels so unprocessed." And then she went to move on to another issue that was lurking that she wanted to talk about. Normally, during my coaching sessions, I avoid interrupting my clients because our calls are about creating a safe space for them to be seen and heard. And I often want to get all of the information before I try to weigh in. But this time I raised a hand to stop her. "Before you move on," I said, "I just want to point out that you said you felt things were, quote, unprocessed, and then you switched gears without leaving space for any processing. And that's okay. You can keep going, but I just want to flag that." She opted to pause in the moment and dive into what needed to be processed, and then how she could find ways to make that happen over the coming days, which was a very wise choice. Because one of the things that I often talk about is that feelings don't stop or go away just because we aren't expressing them. Even if they pass, you're like feeling crummy, you don't do anything about it, and it passes. If it hasn't been processed, it's still building up under the surface. So our feelings have to go somewhere, and processing our emotions is about finding the right place for those feelings to go. On Disney Plus, there's the Folklore Long Pond Studio Sessions, points for a Taylor Swift reference. And she's talking about the creation of the song Seven, which the lyrics are, picture me in the trees before I learned civility. I used to scream ferociously anytime I wanted. And she was inspired by toddlers throwing tantrums. What a source of inspiration. If I could write things like that after watching toddlers have tantrums, my Lanta, but I cry instead because that's how I process my feelings. The point is that, as adults, we know that it's not acceptable for us to lash out at others because of our feelings. But trying to ignore or shut them down just isn't the answer either, because the feelings do not disappear on their own. They actually start to fester like an untreated wound, or, they build up pressure like shaking a bottle of pop. Sometimes life is a lot, and the feelings that we have to process reflect that. Now, in the past, I really used to struggle with processing my feelings, especially the hard ones. And I often found myself flooded by the feels. And like at its worst, it would lead me to, mentally dissociating to the point that like I couldn't even tell you what had happened. I just knew that it got too real. And so that was one of the things that, got my butt into therapy, finding strategies to deal with the feelings and regulate. And because of that, these days I'm okay in spite of the feelings because I know what to do with them. And I like to say that as far as emotional baggage goes, I prefer to pack lightly. So the thing that I really wanted to do today is actually touch on the three core practices that help me to process my feelings and reflect on them. And these are, I want to point out, self-care practices that go beyond meeting basic needs like sleep, food, and hygiene. It drives me bonkers when people are like, "Oh, practice self-care, like go have a shower. It's like, go have a meal." I just kind of need to do those things. Sleep, great. Has to happen. So I want to talk about things that go kind of above and beyond those basic needs, and actually actively and intentionally process feelings beyond it. These are tools in my self-care arsenal that allow me to show up for and work through those inevitable challenges of life without losing my capital S self in the process. So, number one strategy for processing your feelings is to put a stopper on the feeling in the moment and then intentionally come back to tend to it. So I mentioned, just a minute ago, that I used to get so flooded by my feelings that I would fully disconnect from the experience. And it was like it never happened, except I knew that something bad happened. But the thing is, I know it's not helpful for me to act on my big feels when they show up. I would go to that flooded place because instead of having a fight response or a flight response, I would just go into freeze mode, shove everything inside, and just. Like I'm not there. Because the feelings that like the physical feelings in the body, the stress response that I get in reaction to the emotional feelings, that hot skin, the racing heart, the clenched muscles, that stress response has me poised to fly off the handle. And there will be collateral damage if I respond from that place. I just it's harm reduction. It's damage control for me to not do anything about it, but also again, to not just pretend it doesn't exist, to be like, I'm feeling very frustrated right now. I'm feeling very frustrated right now. Like I still have to name the feeling. So that involves connecting with my body to be there. And then I have to come back to the feeling. The feels that make me freak out internally, that ends up coming at the cost of the connection with the experience on the other side. And so I have to focus all of my energy on listening, regulating, and remaining in the moment. So that means mentally closing the door on the feeling until I'm in my car or alone at home. And then I let it out. I put on whatever song feels right. And then I scream and I sing and I dance and I cry and I give myself to the feeling until it lets me know it's done. Even though it's scary sometimes. And again, this is in the case of something like if I'm at peak feeling with my kids and I'm feeling so angry because a need of mine is not being met, for me to meet that anger in the moment with them is not going to be helpful and it will actually be actively harmful. But because the feeling of anger points to things being unfair, to needs not being met. If I don't listen to that anger and I perpetually ignore the need it's trying to bring to the surface, that's going to be an even worse time for everybody. So I do have to, recognize, oh, I'm angry. And then later on, it's like, why was I angry? What was going on? And unpack that when I'm in a safe space. Because, you know, if you don't come back to that feeling and process the energy that you've bottled up in your body, it is going to take you on an involuntary emotional roller coaster ride later. And again, that's not fun for anyone. People get hurt. The second practice that I really is really important to me when I'm processing big feelings is that I have to talk about what's going on with the people in my life who are safe spaces. And it's really important to identify that because not everyone is a safe space, even if they want to be. And you are the only person who can determine what it means for a space or a person to be safe to you. So in my case, safe spaces mean that I don't feel judged for the feelings that I have. It means that I can say the things I'm trying to make sense of out loud without the receiver taking everything as truth. I need the person on the other side to not be afraid of my big feelings or uncomfortable with them. I need them to not try and rush me through them by fixing or offering suggestions or advice, freaking advice. Gosh, that just makes me angrier. So knowing that, I have to be very careful about the people that I choose to process with because some will actually elevate my stress response and aggravate it and kind of make things worse in spite of their best intentions. Like again, this isn't about intention, this is about impact, and it's about me being honest about my experience, when I need to share, when I need someone to hold space for me, what my feelings are through that, after it. All of that helps to inform who is a safe space for me. And the people who are safe, you know, they hold space for me instead of trying to shape my experience. And that helps me to filter through the noise of all of the feelings and the stress and hone in on what's really going on. Because the closer I get to naming what the feelings are telling me, that's going to get me to the resolution that I need. Even if there's nothing about the external circumstance that's changed. And again, a really, really important thing for me here is the impermanence, where sometimes I just need to say, like, oh, I felt this way and I think it was because of that, because blah, blah, blah. And then I, you know, keep talking and it's like, actually, I don't think that it was that. Maybe it was this. And it's like trying on different versions until you land on the one that you know is true for you. And then that's the foot that you step forward with. And so once I've, you know, been able to put a stopper on the feeling in the moment so that my own stress response doesn't right or doesn't escalate. And then I've been able to talk about it in safe spaces and make sense of it. Then the third core practice for me processing my feelings is that I need to move my body and think about something else. Because once I've worked through the emotional and mental pieces of the puzzle, I've gotten to that moment of like, oh, that's what I was looking for. Then moving my body is how I integrate the experience. My activity of choice is usually putting a podcast in my ear holes and going for a walk with the dogs, although yard work and gardening are a close second. Now, listening to a podcast or audiobook is big for me because by the time I'm at this stage, I've usually reached a point of diminishing returns thinking about the problem. Ruminating isn't going to be helpful, so getting my brain actively engaged in something that isn't related to the source of stress really helps me to set a mental boundary and move on with my day. So these activities, the ones that I look for at this stage, they help to resolve the stress cycle physically in my body. They focus my brain, they get my heart rate up, they regulate my breathing, and they move my muscles in a proactive stress metabolizing way. And again, this is versus the thought spiraling and reactivity-based physical stress response of the tense muscles and increased heart rate that you get as a result of stressors. So again, there's a difference between stewing on something and ruminating and not making any progress on it, and like being able to just let it go and know that you've thought about it as much as you can. And again, that's something that only you can answer for yourself. So the point that I want to really drive home here is that for me, boundary setting and self-care are about the ways that I create space so I can hear myself think. It's about pausing to listen to and process my thoughts and feelings, both the quote good and the quote bad, so that I can make sense of all that madness. And at the end of the day, self-care isn't just a thing we do. It is about the moments that we pause and ask ourselves what we really need. And not knowing how to name that feeling or that need is a sign of unfinished processing. And then another thing that I just want to add here, this is kind of like the bonus fourth coping thing that probably nestles under point two about finding safe spaces to talk about things. Because, you know, I started this episode with talking about processing when life moves too quickly to keep up. It's like you can't even make sense of what's going on to even try to talk about it to somebody. I don't know if you've ever been there, but sometimes my thoughts are just racing and it's like, what's going on? It's like, I don't even know how to bring it from intangible in my head to like saying it to you. So when I'm stuck in that space, then I really heavily rely on my writing practice. And that's not because every time that I put pen to paper, it results in wordsmithed gold. Like, I wish that was the case. More often than not, it's absolute garbage. But the point isn't to write something that's good. It's to create a separate world for me that exists outside of the incessant noise and in my head and all of the external demands. So, because my brain, when I'm thinking through something, I think can hold a lot of thoughts at once, it gets very murky. But when I'm sitting down to actually put pen to paper or fingers to keyboard, whatever it may be, it forces me to take those thoughts out one at a time and parse them on the page. Again, it really forces me to take those thoughts and feelings out one at a time and sift through them and make sense of them. And I can do that in, again, a safe way without the consequences of putting those thoughts and feelings into action when they're unprocessed. Because, you know, especially if I'm dealing with something that's very deep and intimate and unhealed for myself, even to talk about it with someone else, it can feel risky because there's a fear of judgment or any number of things. And so the only place that is really that I can really make safe for myself is my internal landscape. But I can't do that until I understand what's going on in there. And I usually don't understand what's going on in there until I write it down. You know, our brains just don't do a great job of sorting through all the incoming data, you know, our personal experiences and, you know, the articles, the posts, the tweets, the news, the threats, the urgency, like everything. It creates a lot of feelings. And those feelings contain really valuable information, which is why it's important that we figure out how to sort through them. And in that sorting, we also have to figure out what's not helpful information necessarily, because our feelings don't always make great choices. And so one of, you know, my favorite spiritual teachers, Ayanla Van Zant, she once told me, and this was when I was going through a really difficult pocket and just really stuck in a place of, I don't know. It was just like, what's going on? I don't know. What do you feel? I don't know. What do you need? I don't know. So she once told me that your thoughts should not be left alone. They need adult supervision, and that's why you must write them down, make them real, observe them, sit with them, and then decide what's next. And that's the point of processing. Without taking that break to reflect and make those spinning thoughts real, my brain gets stuck trying to make sense of them all at once. And quite often, before that sense has been made, I've like doom scrolled my way to another rabbit hole of stress. My brain has found a path of less resistance and, you know, is feeling better thanks to a little dopamine hit from my social media, but that's not actually helpful. It furthers the problem. So I can't stop that constant stream of information making bids for my attention. But what I can do is choose to turn away from that noise and look within. I can enter my own stream of consciousness instead of drowning in everyone else's. And when I can sit with the mess of those feelings long enough, my truth always shows up. You know, that moment of being like, ugh, that's it. That's the feeling. That's the why. That's what I need to do next. That's what I'm listening for because that's what I trust. It is an act of radical and intentional self-care to hit pause, to claim the time and space you need to make sense of what's happening around you, especially as the world tries to rush you past the wreckage and maintain the status quo. And remember, how you process your thoughts, feelings, and stress is 100% up to you and only you. No one can tell you how to feel, and you get to decide what to do with those feelings. And remember, without the space to process, you will carry that emotional weight around and it will take root as trauma. Trauma is you know, what something that we can't make sense of. So that's why it's important that we take the time to make sense of it. And so, again, there's no shortage of ideas or recommendations to help process those feelings, like writing or running or rage singing. But the thing I just want to highlight most of all is that the most important thing is to listen to your feelings before, during, and after that care so that you can make conscious choices that are aligned for you. Your feelings are where your boundaries begin. Your boundaries are what protect you and keep you in alignment with your integrity. And that's the place that we need to be if we want to make grounded choices going forward. So, to give you a little recap before I hit stop recording and go to pick up my minions, the three steps of my, you know, feelings processing practice is number one, to put a stopper on the feeling in the moment and then intentionally come back and tend to it. Number two, talk about what's going on with the people in your life who are safe spaces. And if that's not available to you, then remember that you are your own safe space. And writing things down is a great way to make them real so that you can process them. And then the third thing is to move your body and to think about something else. There's a point of diminishing returns when it comes to thinking about a problem and sitting in your feelings. And you got to figure out where that line is. And then once you hit it, change the channel. Find something else to think about because your brain is going to need a break from that well-trodden problem path. All right. That is all I have for today. I have to get in my car and go get the kids. But as always, thank you so much for listening. If you made it this far, I really appreciate you. If you have any other strategies for processing feelings, I would love to hear about them. You can find me on Instagram at Justine Sones. I am there for the DMs. And you can also get more goodness like this in your inbox with the Friday Feels. It's a newsletter that goes out every other week, and it's all about feeling your feelings, setting boundaries, and practicing sustainable self-care. That is my jam. So I hope that you have a great rest of your day, week, month, year, life, all the things. And I will catch you on the flippity flip.